Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I am the only pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. I tell you, we had a tremendous week this week, and once again, I want to hit on a very, very important point. On April 27th, we invited Heartland Revolution, John Walsh from Kentucky, to join in on our rally. When he came in as a friend. On March 7th, he was not invited in on the rally. But yet, he took credit for May 7th rally. And he went out of his way in an attempt to slam the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Reason unknown, I had no idea what was this all about. What he did, he teamed up with a guy, one of the commissioners who voted to allow the EFM to come here. And here he is talking about democracy. See, Heartland Revolution is backed by the Democratic Party. They're funded by the Democratic Party. And what they do, they go out and try to get people. They're just like the Tea Party. The Tea Party had the Koch brothers. Heartland Revolution has the Democratic Party. And what they normally do, they come in, they want to talk about democracy. They don't want to talk about these corporations and what they're doing. But on this particular time, they came in here talking about democracy, yet they sided with a guy who voted for the EFM to come here, and that's all they've been talking about. They've been talking about the EFM. So listen to me closely. Anybody who's listening and has anything to do with Heartland Revolution, you better watch them. They're what you call backstabbers. So make sure if you allow them. Then let's listen to little Malcolm for a minute.
It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bombs. It's useless because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to Earth. And there's more black people on Earth than there are white people. I only got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of background victory, can I prove it? Yes. Take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race farmers, some race eaters ran him out of Korea.
Yes, they ran him out of Korea.
Race eaters with nothing but gym shoes and a rifle and a bowl of rice. Took him and his tanks and his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, race roars, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember Dien Bien Phu? No. The same thing happened in Algeria. In Africa, they didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare, but they put some guerrilla action on them. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I'm telling you here, I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm going to read this article from the Bayview. It says, leading the anti-takeover march of April 27, Reverend Edward Pinckney decried the emergency financial manager as a dictator, declaring the city of Benton Harbor is now under martial law. Save our city, he cried, inciting everyone in Benton Harbor to march on May 7th to protest George Governor Rick Snyder, the dictator. When he comes to town as a grand marshal of Blossom Time Parade, we want to make sure that we be there and grow. I just want to say, and I want to reiterate on this, because it was important that people understand that people showed up and showed out. And that was a tremendous mark. But also, June 18th, we are going to have our memorial service. It is the 8-year anniversary of the uprising here in the city of Benton Harbor. And we're asking everyone to come from all over the nation. It's crucial that people understand that you have to be able, we got to get the people inside the city of Benton Harbor just a little bit more involved. And also, make sure you be here. That's June 18th, 2011. 2011, here in the city of Benton Harbor at 12 noon, you can come to the library or you can meet us at City Hall, which is right across the street, so you can't miss us. So that's why that's so important. Also, 2012, the PGA will be here in the city of Benton Harbor. And we also have to be ready for the PGA. That's the Jack Nicklaus Designer Golf Course in Benton Harbor. We'll be ready for the 212 Senior PGA Championship. And we want to make sure that people come from all over just for that event so we can show them, we can make them either put up or shut up. But before I go on, let me bring in Ralph Pointer. He's the husband of Lynn Stewart, a true soldier, a true warrior, a woman who I love deeply, a person who had been in this fight for years and years and years. Now she sits in prison for helping someone out. And now the whole world needs to step up to the plate and get behind Lynn Stewart. But I'm only here just for a second to talk about Lynn, but let's bring in her husband, Ralph. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here and I'm listening and I'm loving every minute of it. And I'm smiling to myself when you mention the organizations under the umbrella of the Democratic Party. And this is one of the things that the Democratic Party has been very good at. They have different names of organizations that are supposed to be militant, and they all have a militant name. Each has a name more militant than the organization before, but it's the same one. And it brings, they're trying to bring all of the militancy, yourself included, under the umbrella of the Democratic Party. And we see it in Madison, Wisconsin. They had all of those people on the street and sent them home. And instead of closing down the state, they sent them home and closing down the city with a real action and says, we're going to recall those people who voted the wrong way. The people we voted into office, we're going to recall them. And what is the answer? They're going to put more Democrats. They're asking us to vote for Democrats in the same party that voted for this nonsense. The same people who voted for this nonsense. The same people who are not attacking the prices, the riches of the oil company. They're not attacking the wars. And this is the big one. 700 American bases on foreign soils. You want to do something about the deficit? Close about 200 of them. Bring them
close them all.
Home. Close them all, right.
Don't worry about 200. Close all of them down.
They talk about the deficit. It's got nothing to do with the deficit. There's more than enough money. What they're talking about is taking it from us. And I'm the poor. I don't mind telling people I'm poor. My father worked in the steel mill and the coal mines, and I worked in the steel mill, and we all worked, and we were all poor, and we tried to get ahead, and we believed that every generation was going to get better than the previous one. But it was all based on imperialism. And as Malcolm was saying, now the world has changed. You cannot win a land war on the Asian continent. And there, what does that mean? That means the 25% of the world's people were working for the European economy. They controlled China. Five European countries controlled the economy of China. They took it back. Vietnamese took theirs back. Indonesians took theirs back. Everybody's taking back their economy, natural resources. So who does that leave to steal from? Us.
That's right.
They can't
Absolutely.
Take from them. They're taking from us. And if you don't believe that, then people should talk about foreclosures. You notice that's not in the newspaper anymore.
No, they don't. They
broke
print
a
that.
Record last month.
Yeah.
They broke more foreclosures than ever before. But nobody's talking about it. Democratic Party isn't talking about it. Mr. Obama isn't talking about it. But we're getting poorer and poorer, and I don't know. If you go to the gas pump every day, you see we're in trouble.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It just goes on and on and on. And you're one of the people who understands it and says, get rid of this dictator.
Absolutely.
And
he got to go.
You're out there, and you're telling people you're leading. Leading, saying we have to do something. And Mary comes on and says, hey, we have a program. Let's stop shopping. We have
That's
to
it.
Fight back instead of talking and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And we all
That's
know
it.
What that is. That's insanity. That's a description.
That's all it is. Hey,
and,
Ralph.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about this group called Heartland Revolution?
Well, I know who supports them, and that's all I have to know.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. See, the thing that really puzzled me more than anything else, they came down here talking about democracy. That's all they want to talk about, democracy. They want to recall all the Republicans and then put in a Democrat.
Exactly.
And, but then one of the guys that was that had voted for the EFM to come, and matter of fact, it was two of them. They decided they're going to side with them and put them on their bandwagon. So it's a lot of confusion right there.
It's a game, and
yeah.
We have to get hip to the game. And you know, one of the things I've said is we gave our allegiance to the Democratic Party for a long time.
Absolutely.
No questions asked. And what did they do? They made it better for a few mm-hmm. Negroes.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, you know, who controlled the inner city? Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the worst schools in the country? Inner city.
That's
what
right.
What did they do about it? Kept on
Nothing.
Making the money.
That's
and
it.
And we're still
That's
in
it.
The
and
same.
And you know, hey, Ralph, and it's getting worse and worse.
Worse and worse. And we have no answer. But we do have an answer. Let's change that. We're
yeah.
not going to go. We're not going to give people our vote that don't give us our services.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as that. And you're doing the right thing, showing leadership, exposing who they are. And this is the only way to go. Now, one of the things we said a year ago, you know, things are going to get worse. People didn't believe that.
No.
They talked about there was going to be no double dip. We had the double dip. And all of the media talks about the recovery. There is no recovery.
They know that.
They know that, but they kid
but they,
us.
They, look,
say,
what they're saying is hoping that we don't know.
Exactly.
See, they already know there's no recovery. They already know exactly what's going on. They know that even at midnight, all the prices goes up in the food stores. They know that. These are things that they do behind closed doors. These are things where they take advantage of us. But we're so busy trying to survive, we don't take the time out to investigate nothing. We just, you know, most people are just barely living.
Exactly. And you see, numbers. They play games with numbers, with unemployment numbers. Here, the unemployment numbers and the homeless are off the charts. They don't know how many are homeless in New York. They just stopped taking care of the numbers. They don't know how many people are on. They do know how many people are on food stamps. They just don't talk about it. They know that the food stamps are being cut. They just don't talk about it. And
no.
Here we are, over and over again. The food prices are going up. The price of gas is going up. You can hardly go to work because of what you have to pay for gas to get there.
Right.
And the money you get, you know, they're getting rid of the unions. Don't talk about that. Just stay where you are. You hush up your mouth, is what they tell us, and join the Democratic Party and listen to that nonsense. But, you know, it's those who have watched and those who have worked have to be rewarded. And, you know, Cynthia McKinney worked for the Greens. She worked for black people. She worked for poor people around the country. And I do think, you know, when we talk about why did they go after Cynthia? And I think basically they went after Cynthia because she was putting black and white people together. She was holding meetings down in Georgia and saying,
absolutely,
if you're poor, join us. And, boy, they didn't like that.
No.
If you have a problem, join us. Let's talk about the problem. They didn't like that.
Mm-mm.
Bringing the troops home. Now, they didn't like that. End imperialism. They didn't like that. Release political prisoners. They didn't like any of that. So they went after. And anybody who talks truth, they go after. And that's
I got some great news for you, just on that note.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia McKinney going to be here in the city of Benton Harbor,
yes,
October the 8th.
Yes.
She will be here. And, you know, you brought up about the welfare system. Here in the state of Michigan, 12,500 welfare recipients will be taken off the roll October 1st.
Now,
Bill Clinton put in a bill that says that nobody is to receive welfare for 5 consecutive years.
Yep. And they called
them. And they say that nobody really enforced it. But starting this year, 2011, in the state of Michigan, October 1st, if you have been in the welfare system for 5 consecutive years, you're going to be kicked off. Actually, it's 4 years. That 5th year, you got to go. So that's everybody. Let's say that there's some people that's been on 10 years. And now you come October 1st, you will no longer receive public assistance. So what you're saying now is incredible, because for the simple reason, now people are beginning to wake up and realize that the attack is on them. At first they thought it was just on me. Now they realize it's on them.
Yes, and see, one of the things we said, you're going to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believed that, and I remember you riding up and down the street talking to the young man and say, come join us, come join us. And what his answer was, oh, I'm all right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm
and you
all
said,
right. I'm
no,
okay.
You're not.
You're not okay.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm saying, so now when his welfare doesn't come in, then he'll know he's not okay. And
yeah,
then maybe we will be able to organize a little better than we have been. Maybe people will say, you know, like when I didn't eat, then I'm going to go join Reverend Pinckney. All of the stuff he's been saying over the years is true. The vote he's been talking about, you know, we got to get rid of those who don't support us. Those who support, what's his name, Whirlpool, you know, they're not going to give us a penny. They're going to give those clowns that they own a penny or two, but not the rest of us. So we have to, you know, like the things we've already spoken, the things that we've said over the years have come are coming full face now. And it's and what can we do? I was talking to a woman last night, and she says, you know, all of the years we were trying to put together our food supply with the farmers in the South, the black farmers who were put out of business in the South by the federal government, didn't give them equal opportunity in terms of loans, loaned to the white farmers. Now they finally make a settlement, but the farms are gone. They can't buy that back. So the farms are gone. So now what are we going to do for food? If you don't feed yourself, nobody else will.
That's
people
right.
People did not believe that. So here we're in a situation where we have to wake up yesterday, smell the coffee, grow it, and do everything else in short order because these people mean to be rid of us. And
that's right.
I was just thinking, you know, but I think about young people all the time, and it gets to me. When I think of the our kids who were of college age who didn't go to college. Because there's a song, you know, you've heard of the economic crisis in Europe, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain. Now they're all in it. This affects America. And as their economies slide further and further, it's cooked to American economy, which has already slidden. The American economy who brought about this economic pressure. And then what it creates is a brain drain. The last nation to fall is where everybody runs. Now, I don't know if you look around, and I'm not an isolationist. I believe people should take advantage of their education and their talents. They come to America. These educated and the talented people come to America. And where are the jobs? There are no jobs for people educated. And one of the
Ralph, you got to remember this now. What they want to do now, all the jobs have been outsourced.
Outsourced, right.
That's right.
They've been outsourced at a cheaper rate.
Absolutely. And even these white collar jobs that we're talking about, Whirlpool has talked about in Germany. And in Germany, you make a lot of money. You make more money than they make here in the United States.
And what are
and,
they doing?
One of the guys, they were saying how much money that they demand. And it's incredible when you think about what Whirlpool have done. Think about just what they have done to the city of Benton Harbor and what these other corporations are doing to the cities in this country. They're taking all the jobs out of this country. There's no more manufacturing jobs here in the city of Benton Harbor that Whirlpool had. And Whirlpool was built up right here in the city of Benton Harbor.
Right. And when they use you.
And then they had the nerve to ask for a $50 million tax break. I mean, how could you outsource all the manufacturing jobs, really all the jobs, and they don't hire the residents here in the city of Benton Harbor, and yet you go to their commissioners, go to their elected officials, and ask them to give you a $50 million tax break, a city that's $5 million in the red. How could you put your mouth in a position to say something like that?
Well, they do, and when they use you up, they get rid of you.
Mm.
And they have used us up, and they're about to get rid of us. Because now we talk about Germany. Well, in Germany, what are they doing? They're putting out all of those workers who would come there over the years when they needed cheap, unskilled labor. They had all they wanted. And the moment that they get things together, they send those workers back. Every country does the same thing. And I'm thinking of Malcolm's speech he just had in the beginning of the program when he was saying, you know, you have to fend for yourself. And
that's
we found all of the Africans, the Southern Africans, they went to Tunisia. They went to Libya. They went to all of these countries because they allowed their leaders, their false leaders, to give their country away. And they felt that they could go without a fight. Well, they went without a fight. Now they don't have a country. They're
Absolutely.
Being drowned at sea, you know, women, children. You know, it's one of these things that we never accepted the reality of our existence as people of color in this country.
Ralph,
never
so
accepted
correct.
That reality.
And, but Ralph,
uh-huh.
On that note, let's have the Lynn Stewart update.
Okay, Lynn is Lynn. You know, she is the same person they put in jail for telling the truth. And the truth she told in defending her client, Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, was that there was no terror threat, that these were all programs made up by the government to do what? To turn people's eye off the ball and then steal all their money and to go steal the rest of the world. Now, she's an expert on it. She speaks very clearly. And they didn't want that message out there. Then they said she was a terrorist because she supported those people who wanted to overthrow Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. And when she was on the witness stand, she said these words: when people are oppressed, they will throw the heel or the boot of oppression off their necks in any way possible. So they said, you see, she's a terrorist. And in our papers that were filed by Harold Price Farringer, he said, if 8 years ago you had paid close attention to the prophet Lynn Stewart, you could have avoided all of this trouble. She told you what was going to happen. It happened, and yet she sits in jail. All of our brightest minds in this country who tell us what's going to happen, they put them in jail. And so Lynn Stewart sits in jail, and she just, I think I told you last week that she had a problem because she helps people. And she was helping some of the most outrageous cases. And I will tell you, people are in jail who she says are no threat to society. It will break your heart to hear their stories. But when somebody tells you a story, you have to check it out. You know, people can tell you anything. So in her process of checking out the stories of people, she was reading their papers. Well, they had said that you're not allowed to have the papers of fellow inmates in your possession. Well, how is she going to read the papers unless she reads them 2 minutes now and then the bell rings, you go to lunch, everybody go into their section, they keep you from reading them. So what she's going to have to do is send them to myself and to Brenna, her daughter, who is also a lawyer, and say, read these papers to make fact check. Make sure all of the facts are so, and then we're going to work on those cases. Now, you think that a person who would do that, the person would say, yeah, we're into rehabilitation, we're into helping people, we're into, you know, like helping the inmates. Well, they came down on Lynn. But I can report to you, I can gladly report to you that the inmate said to those in charge in the prison, what is this about? You tell us about turning our lives around. You tell us about reforming. You tell us about change. And the first person who comes to help us do these things, you come down on them like a ton of bricks. And the inmates just embarrass those in charge by speaking to them on every opportunity and say, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? It's just like somebody coming and talking about democracy and then doing the other thing. So they had to say, well, okay, we'll just slap her wrist. But when they slapped her wrist, she had no stamps, she had no commissary, she couldn't write. The only thing she could do was call me, and we were worried they were going to take her calls away. So it was... She was shut down for 2 weeks, and then they shut her program down of helping people. So now it has to be delayed. She has to send the papers to me. I have to read them, discuss them with Brenna, send them back, you know, like, and say, okay, the story's true. You know, how do we proceed from here? So this is where Lynn is. She is struggling every day. Prison is not nice, Reverend. You have been there. You know about
it. Absolutely.
And so many of our people have been there for good reasons. And the truth tellers in our society are being attacked. And one day Lynn said to me, she says, well, Ralph, there's a gentleman who they're going to attack who worked for the federal government for, I think, something like 15, 16 years, and his job was to expose corruption. So he exposed corruption. And now they're asking for 30 years for him.
Mm.
Fired him. And what did he do? He did his job.
That's right.
And this tells us what America is about.
Absolutely.
They say free press and free speech.
Absolutely.
Don't you believe it? She says this young man, Bradley Manning, they're going to kill him. They're going to torture him. What did he do? Gave him
You know what they have already done. They done demonized him already.
Already. And
he's the worst person in the whole United States right now.
They call him
a traitor and everything else.
He told the truth.
Yeah,
Truth teller. So Lynn says, don't feel bad for me. They just want me to die in jail. They're talking about killing those guys.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So she says, one of the things that we, all of us out here, must do, we must begin to look at the so-called terrorist case. And she says, the poor young black men in Liberty City, Florida, you know, she says they couldn't blow their nose. They couldn't find Chicago.
Mm-mm.
And they're supposed to be blowing up something.
Yeah.
And they gave them, you know, one of the funniest things, they promised them, you know, the government, this U.S. government with flunkies, promised them, said, listen, if you blow up the Sears Tower, we're going to give you money to buy a Hummer, boots, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they gave them $500.
Yeah.
So I says, I don't know that you could get a ticket.
Get an airplane ticket for $500.
So anyway,
and that's really sad.
This is the caliber of these young men. Over in Newburgh, New York, I was sitting in the trial listening, and they had promised this guy all kind of money and saying, listen, and do this thing for Allah. And, you know, and you're going to live and you're going to have a wonderful time in paradise, and you're going to have millions right here and now.
Absolutely.
And one of the gentlemen said, well, listen, I have a food bill. I think it's $30 at the grocery store. Could you come up with $30 so I could go get some more things on credit?
Mm.
And it seemed the agent who was working for the government managed to come up with the $30. Well, this young man is doing 25 to life in jail. He asked for money for food.
Right.
And he did nothing.
Crucial.
He did nothing. He went along, and this guy was making speeches and saying, you see over there, that's the airport. We could blow that up. And the young man said, well, listen, you know, my mother's in the hospital, and I don't have any way to go see her. Could you drive me there? And the guy says, yeah, I'll drive you there tomorrow. This young man is in jail.
Wow.
Can you
talk about that a little bit more next week? Let's tell people where they can write the land.
Yes.
And then I got to bring on Mary.
Okay, go ahead and bring on Mary. Let me run and get my land slip. And I'll give it
to
you.
All right, get your land slip, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend. How are you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
I am doing wonderful. I'm doing so good, I don't know what to tell you. There was an attack upon me for me allowing people to come and join my rally and everything. But other than that, it's nothing that I can't handle, let's put it that way.
And it's something we expect. We expect to be attacked.
Right, that's what I tell people. I expect these things to happen. You know what I'm saying? I expect people to come in and try to do everything they can to sidetrack the real issues.
Yes. And, you know, the thing is, sir, that what happened to you as far as being imprisoned for reporting the Bible, what happened to Ms. Stewart for being imprisoned for defending her client, what happened to Private Manning being imprisoned for what he thought was exposing wrongs in the military. These things are getting more and more common. Now, let me say to you before I go any further that if COINTELPRO cuts us off, I'll call you back from a 678 number.
Okay.
Okay, because sometimes they cut me off. Now,
okay.
I want you to know, Reverend, I'm sure you know that this last week, we lost Geronimo Jagega Pratt.
Absolutely, I know that.
Yes, we lost him. And before I go any further with the Boycott for Justice announcement, I want to again invite everyone to go to their internet and browse for my article, Jenny Cochran's COINTELPRO Murder Theory. That's Jenny Cochran's COINTELPRO Murder Theory. Now, a number of people believe that Jenny Cochran may have been helped to have that tumor in his brain. They induce tumors in lab rats every day, so it's nothing unusual to induce tumors. A lot of people believe that he may have been helped along because he defended, along with Attorney Hanlon and others, he defended Geronimo Pratt and got him out of prison where he had been for 27 years, eight of them in solitary confinement, when the FBI set Geronimo Pratt up on false murder charges. Also, Jenny Cochran sold his law firm. Understand that. The people who are on his law firm are not the people that Jenny Cochran chose and worked with. He sold partnership to some people who I know to be white racists and black Confederate soldiers.
Mary, let me get this straight. Mary, are you saying that, because there's a lot of them Jenny Cochran law firms around the country, are you telling me that these law firms basically have nothing to do with Jenny Cochran at all?
Nothing whatsoever to do with Jenny Cochran. They use his name. Look, they're messing up their phone, sir. That's COINTELPRO. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Okay, that's COINTELPRO, messing with the phone. These law firms have nothing to do with Jenny Cochran. I was assured of that by Attorney Hanlon, who was also defending Geronimo Pratt. I talked to him on the phone, and he assured me that all of his comrades at the Cochran firm were let go after Jenny Cochran died. Also, you can hear that on an NPR radio interview with one of Jenny Cochran's former attorneys. Her name is Shawn Chapman Holley, H-O-L-L-E-Y. She made an NPR interview when she sued that Jenny Cochran firm for racism. What they did was Jenny Cochran got Geronimo Pratt out of prison. He got a famous name. Now, as you know, one of COINTELPRO, you know COINTELPRO is an acronym for Counterintelligence Program. That's the FBI, Counterintelligence Program. Now, it was active between 1956 and 1971 under Hoover. Now, its motivation at the time was to protect national security, prevent violence, and maintain the existing social and political order. Now, the social order was dominance by white elitists with a Marxist manifesto. So now that's what the FBI's appointed role is, to keep the social and political order, which is white elitists with a Marxist manifesto. Now, you know, COINTELPRO were thorns in the side to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and white people who were, many white people were protesting the Vietnam War, environmental injustice and what have you. Anybody who's speaking out against anything would become a target by COINTELPRO. And this Geronimo Pratt was the minister of the Black Panther Party. And most of COINTELPRO's budget went to eliminating anything to do with African Americans getting equal justice. That was their job. It wasn't just something they did on the side. That was their main goal, was to put down anything that would help blacks in the 50s, 60s, and 70s to reach a point of equal justice. So they really went after the Black Panther Party hard. And Geronimo Pratt is one of those that they set up on false murder charges. And he went to jail for 27 years, and he spent eight of them in torturous solitary confinement.
Wow.
Now, Jenny Cochran defended Geronimo Pratt when he first got arrested, but he lost the case, and Geronimo Pratt went to prison. But he never gave up on it. And then Attorney Hanlon, worked with Geronimo Platt all those years trying to get him out, and Johnny Cochran joined him after Johnny Cochran got powerful. He got more powerful than he was when he successfully defended O.J. Simpson. He got name recognition that he
right.
never had before.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back with Hanlon, and together they got Geronimo Platt out of prison. So what happened then was they had to pay Geronimo Platt $4.5 million for his wrongful conviction because his conviction was a setup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Johnny Cochran and Hanlon, what they did was they exposed the COINTELPRO program. After that, Congress got together, and they had congressional hearings on the COINTELPRO program, and they supposedly stopped funding it. Okay? So, now, do you think they made the FBI very happy with Johnny Cochran? No. The next thing you know, the white people, and I'm not against white people, I'm against white supremacists. They
mm-hmm.
came to Johnny Cochran, and they said to him, if you will let us be partners in your law firm, we will give you money. Well, now, Johnny Cochran wanted the money. You know why? Because he wanted to sue the United States of America for reparations. He wanted to put together a dream team of lawyers to sue the United States of America and major corporations for reparations. So he took the money, and he let them use his name, which had gotten famous, and he stayed at the top of the organization. Now, the thing is that very quickly after he did that, he went ahead and joined pro bono the Tulsa Oklahoma Reparations Council legal
okay.
team because they were going to sue for the Tulsa race riots of 1921. And he saw that as a step one to getting ready to sue America for slavery. Well, very quickly after that, he got cancer and came up dead. Okay? So now whether that was by nature or whether that was by design, I can't say. However, there are people who believe he was murdered. One of those people who spoke out about it is attorney Alton Maddox, M-A-D-D-O-X. I've got it all in my article, and I hope you'll read it after the broadcast.
Okay, are you going to send that out after the broadcast? Because I got about 30 callers on the line, and I got to give somebody else a chance.
It's already online.
Here's what I do. Go ahead.
Okay, that's the Johnny Cochran's COINTELPRO Murder Theory by Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. And I've got information there, and I've got proof that law firm is still COINTELPRO because they're the ones who got it. And those
very
black
good.
People there
Mary,
are liars.
Mary, I got to let you go on that issue, but you can get a chance to, before we get the show over, you can make that announcement. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Look,
you want me to talk about the Boycott for Justice real quick?
Go ahead and hit that real fast.
All right, real fast. Please look online for Boycott for Justice. And that's the number four, Boycott for Justice. No shopping on June 9, 2011. The thing is that we've got environmentalists, we've got workers' rights, human and civil rights advocates, organizations. We've got people who are being discriminated against because they're black or Latinos. They want all of them in jail as prison laborers. They want to replace paid laborers with prison laborers. They want to outsource our jobs overseas into prisons, like Reverend Pinckney and his comrade were talking about. We need to stand together. And the thing is, this is not something coming from our elected officials. They work for somebody. Unfortunately, they do not work for you and me. They work for corporations. So let's go over their heads to the corporations and say, if you don't improve justice in America and all these different areas, we will show you who we are. We are your customers. We are the constituents. We will not shop. Let's not shop. All of us together, black people, white people, Latino people, Native Americans, Asians, whoever you are, let's not shop together on every ninth of the month. That's our 9/11 emergency call for justice in America.
Don't very good.
Very good.
I got to let another caller in. Dorothy, are you there?
Thank you. Yes, I am.
Listen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Right.
Because of you.
Yes, I'm doing great.
Yes, I do, and I'd like to just give a shout-out to Raph and Van and to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I want to ask you, you know, since you're you are a community leader and an activist in this community, and you have found out that about Heartland's deception, what are you going to do about it?
Well, the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to meet that issue head on. We are not going to allow them to continue to do the things that they was doing here in the city of Benton Harbor, especially where they have no interest. We know now that they're with the Democratic Party. We know
you
that they're being funded by the Democratic Party. So my goal is to expose them for what they really
right
are. They came down here talking about democracy. That was the whole issue. And then what they did, they teamed up with a guy who voted against the EFM. And I mean, now if you go on their website, that's all they're talking about, the EFM. So I'm saying they're a bunch of phonies. And anybody who deal with this Heartland Revolution group, anybody, you better watch yourself with them. You better watch yourself with them. Because I learned my lesson by allowing them to come in and actually be with me. I didn't have to allow them to, but I did it. And they stabbed me right in the back. Matter of fact, they went to the Herald Palladium and told the Herald Palladium that they were not with Pinckney, and they were the one howling the rally on May 7th, knowing that they did not have anything to do with that rally. They had nothing to do with that rally. But yet and still, what they did, they went out and they taking credit. You go on their website. They're telling people they're responsible for things that they know is not true. I'm having a rally June 18th. They're trying to take credit for it, but they don't know it's a memorial rally. You see what I'm saying? So that way, I kind of like neutralize them because there's no reason for them to be given a memorial rally. But on that note, I got to bring in Libby.
Libby,
are you there?
I'm in kind of an odd situation. I'm not going to be able to talk for very long, and it's very noisy, but hopefully
just
you'll be
do
able
what you
to
can.
Hear me. Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to hear me. There's interesting new developments in Benton Harbor from the emergency financial manager, Joseph Harris. And I'm reading from eclectablog.com. An order from Harris, the EFM, on Friday states that, quote, you're not going to believe this, by the way, but anyway, quote, no city official, employee, or agent shall appear in an official capacity for or on behalf of the city at any meeting or hearing of the city commission or any of the city commission's committees without the express written approval of the emergency financial manager, except the city clerk, who shall be permitted to attend any city commission meeting for the sole purpose of keeping the meeting minutes, unquote. So it looks as though this new rule is intended to prevent people from reporting to the city commission in any official way, which effectively shuts the elected leadership out of any informational discussions regarding city operations. Additionally, the order from the EFM Joseph Harris goes on to state that the city clerk must attach language to the minutes of all Benton Harbor Commission meetings stating that any resolution by that body has no legal effect. And let's see, a second order, blah, 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 blah. A second order from him on Friday excuses two of the commissioners, James Hightower and Brian Joseph, from attending commission meetings. That's weird. The orders
are his supporters. Those are his supporters now.
I see. So they just aren't going to go.
No, they don't. What he's saying, see, if you miss five meetings, you automatically removed from the city commission. So they're saying that they're not going to go anymore. So if they miss now, they will not be dismissed from the city commissioners. So that's what that's all about. Also, Sandra Dudley and Debbie Pop, those are two of his people who he don't really trust. Because so he brought in some folks from Whirlpool Poke to put on that Brownfield boy. So
it says here that the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And of course now those are the people who he took further steps to reconfigure that group, and they're responsible for directing how the brownfields or former industrial sites are developed. And just note that there's a great deal of funding through grants and loans for brownfield redevelopment. Also, access to this prime real estate in the shoreline city of Benton Harbor is very valuable, particularly if it can be obtained for very low cost and subsidized through federal and state grants. But, yes, he did. He reworked that group. He took out, as you said, Sandra Dudley and Debbie Pop. He said their term is hereby finished immediately, and he put in place Michelle Hart and Chris Donovan.
Well, let me sum that up a little bit. He put those two people, Sandra and Debbie, on there just recently, within the last 2 months.
Huh.
That now, see, the people that was on Brownfield before that was the one who was placed on there by the boy. So they removed the one that was placed on there by the commissioners. And now what he did, he put Sandra on there. Now he had removed them and put these people from Whirlpool, or I should say from Whirlpool, but part of Whirlpool program. So once again, they're positioning themselves. They're positioning themselves
to
get whatever they need.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
They're positioning themselves to get whatever they need for
whatever
Harbor
they
Shores.
Need.
For Harbor Shores.
That's right. And
for
that's
Harbor
what they're
Shores.
Doing now.
But they've been doing that for how many decades?
Yeah, same thing. That's because the people won't take a stand. Until the people stand up, it's going to continue that way. That's why June 18 rally is so important. I'm trying to get the people inside the city of Benton Harbor to know that we have a major problem here, and we need each and everyone to take a stand. If you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your children. And your children.
Uh-huh.
On that note, Libby, I want to thank you. You did a beautiful
thank
job because that was
I'll
some crucial information.
Yep, I'll
you
talk
got
to
something
you later,
else?
Everybody. That's it.
Okay,
that's all
take
I got.
Care, Libby. Now, thank
okay.
you very much.
Bye-bye.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
We got about 6 minutes. Ralph, I want you to go right ahead.
Okay, listen to Mary. If you want to find out about COINTELPRO, remember this name, Ward Churchill, an indigenous Native American person who is a scholar, wrote 26 books on the COINTELPRO. 26 books, not all on COINTELPRO. But he is the author and I would say the expert on COINTELPRO. Everything you want to know and not want to know about COINTELPRO, he did. Now, Lynn Stewart, when you have an opportunity, write to Lynn, 53504-054, Federal Medical Center Carswell. Federal Medical Center Carswell, CARSWELL, Unit 2N. Unit 2N. P.O. Box 27137. P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas. That's at 76127. Now, anybody who's been in jail, and we've all had members, family members in jail, it gets very lonely for people of like mind, for progressive people who are working for other people. Write to her and tell her about the program. Tell her about Reverend Pinckney. Tell her what you think, and she will return your mail. And she's very brilliant and incisive. So you will help yourself, and you will help her with this mail. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. And we must remember that all of the people who are oppressed, it's one struggle. One struggle.
That's it.
And we have one empire to beat, the evil empire. we are all in in this war for justice. And an injustice to one is an injustice to all. So we must get over these lines of Muslims, Christians. We must remember the issues, but we must not identify them as others have identified them. And on that note, hope to see you in the whirlwind.
All right. All right. Listen, Mary, go right ahead.
All right. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. I want to tell Lynn Stewart's husband that
Ralph.
If he put my name, Mary Neal, N-E-A-L,
yes.
in the internet browser with Lynn Stewart, he will see that I constantly write about her case. And
we read it, but
included.
She can't read it.
I'm sorry?
She cannot.
If you do,
I read it.
See,
yes, Mary. I will ask you and I will apologize. Please call me again because my phone was out of
reach. They won't let me get through to you, sir.
You got through to me. You got through to me.
All right.
Try again. Those same numbers.
Okay. Listen,
I want
you to know that today I got an email from a woman. She says, I've complained and complained. Do the police here in Corpus Christi, Texas, have the right to do whatever they want, and then someone comes after them scrubbing the internet clean of police criminal activity? Now, this is what's happening. COINTELPRO is not gone. COINTELPRO goes behind you, and they scrub the internet clean of reports and videos that show what's going on. I'm glad that you covered today about organizations that are supposedly protest groups and organizations for civil rights, and they're really just a sham. They're by the Democratic Party, and the people need to know that the Democrats do not care anymore, in my opinion, about civil rights and human rights than the GOP. Now, I found that out, and you will find that out. This is Mary Neal. I am the Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. We have mass incarceration of our mental patients in America. They are brutalized and murdered at will, and we cannot get any type of response to our questions as to how and why my brother, a mentally ill heart patient, Larry Neal, was brutally murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail, and that's under the USDOJ. We have a Democratic president. We have a Democratic attorney general, and they tell us they will not tell us anything about his murder. So I'm not impressed with Democrats, GOP, or any of that. We need to get together as human beings, as black people, white people, Native Americans, Asians, we need to get together, Latinos, and know that it behooves us to come together and boycott for justice.
Look at us as
boycott the number four injustice.
That's great. That's great. Listen, on that note, I just want to let people know exactly where we are going. I want to thank my wife, Dorothy Pinkney, for being a true soldier, coming in, doing the things that they need to be done. I want to thank you, Mary, for the work you have done. You're tremendous. And Ralph, I can't even tell you. Matter of fact, I got a call last week from someone who was listening to the show, and the first thing they said is, that Ralph Pointer, he's something else. I said, yes, he said, he know how to tell a story. I said, yes, he does. I said, it's just tremendous. Just to know that, Ralph, when people call and give you these accolades, I get happy myself. But the thing is, we need to know that when these organizations comes in, these organizations with all this money, now this Heartland Revolution, they're out of Kentucky. John Watch is his name. He comes in, he has money, and he flooding this money around, trying to see who he can pull in. The same thing that Whirlpool do, that's what he do. When he came here, he didn't want nobody to talk about Whirlpool. That opened the door for me to say there's an issue here. But
yes.
My thing is this. Don't come here being a phony and think that you're not going to be undressed. Best thing you come here and be around me, I'm going to undress you. And that's what I did. But We got a big rally coming up June 18th. It's the memorial for the T-shirt, Terrence Sherm. And it's going to be held here in the city of Benton Harbor at 12 noon. That's when we're going to kick it off. And we're going to have a prayer, a rally, and a march. I'm going to have something for the young folks here. I mean, they love a little rap. I'm going to give them a little rap. But they're going to give me a little march. That's all I'm asking. And we're going to keep this thing going. That's the only way I know how to bring the young folks in. And because they don't want to listen, but in between every rap song, they're going to get a little something from me. So this is how we're going to do it. So I'm going to make sure that they understand. If I have to listen to that rap, you got to listen to me. That's how I look at it. But there'd be no cursing. There'd be no B's, W's, no nothing. We're going to do this thing right. And I want people to know that I'm serious about what I'm doing. And I'm trying to get the people to understand that we have to come together. And they're going to do everything in their power. Everything. Not something. Everything in their power to stop us. So on that note, I hate to say this, we have no more time. God
love you
bless
all.
Y'all. And we do a wonderful. We had over 30 calls, people trying to call in. And I like the crew, you know, and I like the work that y'all do, and I like this. This is tremendous. Everybody get a chance to talk, everybody get a chance to say what they need to say, and we get the message out. That's the most important thing. We get the message out. Today was a tremendous day. And once again, I want to thank you, Ralph. You're doing a tremendous job. I love you. And Mary, keep up the good work. You're doing great.
Thank you,
like your fight. And anything I can do to help, I'm here for you. Dorothy, hang in there. Just take this thing one step at a time.
If you can hang, I can hang.
Right.
All right. Okay. On that note, I will see y'all next Sunday.
Bye,
hey,
everybody.
Love you all.
Take care. Love you, too, man.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Thanks for
bye
listening.
Now.
Good night. Hello?